president's latest plan for job creation, cut the red tape.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The White House will unveil plans today to cut hundreds of federal regulations for businesses. According to an op-ed by an Obama administration official in this morning's Wall Street Journal, the White House will eliminate rules in hopes of saving companies billions of dollars over the next 5 years. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live now from Washington with more on this. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, Nancy, give us some details here. What kind of regulations are we talking about?
Jeremy, they cover everything from rail safety to gas tanks. Now, some of these regulations are obviously redundant and unnecessary. There's a rule that gas stations have to install valves on pumps to keep gas vapors from escaping when you're pumping gas, even though there's already technology on cars that does exactly the same thing. Hmm. The Transportation Department will now only apply certain railroad safety rules where they're actually needed. The White House says that'll save up to $340 million. The Department of Homeland Security is going to expedite clearance of low-risk travelers through security at airports. It says a pilot program over the past year has already saved passengers time, which DHS values at more than $2 million. And the Environmental Protection Agency will allow more paperwork to be filed electronically. And the White House says that'll save up to $126 million a year.
And Nancy, I assume that none of these new regulatory changes involve any of the new regulations that came as part of Wall Street reform or healthcare reform.
That's right, Jeremy. In fact, the National Association of Manufacturers says regulations from those new laws are actually more of a threat to job creation and competitiveness.
All right, well, let's get some reaction now from Professor Charles Elson, who heads up the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. Professor Elson, do you think that these new regulatory changes being announced today will help create jobs?
Way too little, way too late, given the regulatory posture of this administration, a bit disingenuous and, I think, grasping at straws.
But we're still talking about hundreds of regulatory cuts, right?
Well, you know, the general theme of this administration has been heavy, heavy regulation in all kinds of areas. And it's basically like having someone hit you on the head with a lead pipe and then offering to shake your hand. It doesn't get you very far.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, there's been obviously a lot of criticism about overregulation from the Obama administration and that's hampering the recovery. But isn't it just a lack of demand, a big recession? Isn't that what's the problem here?
It's part of it, but I think it's also uncertainty about how these new regulations will play out ultimately in corporate profitability, whether it's Dodd-Frank or anything else this group has done. There's a real lack of confidence throughout the economy as to where we're going in the future and a lack of understanding what this administration really intends to do or not do. And I think that uncertainty has been part of the problem with capital formation that we've seen in this recession.
Charles Elson, head of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning across the globe, about 2% in Hong Kong and about 1.2% in London. The Swiss bank UBS is laying off about 3,500 workers, about half of them in the investment banking division. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow upgraded 37 points to close at 10,854.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Hurricane Irene continues to gather steam this morning as it heads toward Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. Meanwhile, just to the west in Alabama, residents are still picking up the pieces after the deadly tornadoes that struck in April. And so are some radio stations. Executives in the state's radio business say the storms cost them millions of dollars in advertising revenue. From WBHM in Birmingham, Tanya Ott reports.
Most days, Birmingham's 95.7 Jams sounds like this. But in the days after the tornado, it was wall-to-wall news.
back in studio with our coverage as we ourselves had to get to our places of safety.
Immediately after the storm, I called to say I have grave reservations.
That's David DeBose, head of Cox Media Group in Birmingham. The company he called was Arbitron. It's like the Nielsens of radio. Arbitron mails out diaries for people to record what stations they listen to.
When the tornado hit, you had some diaries that were already in the field. Imagine, are you going to fill out your diary, or are you going to worry about dealing with the debris that's in your yard or hole in your roof?
Sure enough, Jams dropped from its long-held number one spot in the market to number five. DeBose demands Arbitron dump the ratings for the period when the tornado hit, but Arbitron's Beth Webb says no way.
A few days' disruption isn't going to disrupt the entire service if things get back to normal.
And she says things did get back to normal. The company collected enough diaries. Webb says a blip for one station doesn't warrant canceling the ratings for the entire Birmingham area. Industry execs say this rumble over ratings points to a larger problem. Arbitron is a monopoly. If it wants to dig its feet in on any issue, there's not much radio stations can do about it.
It's not due to some sort of nefarious plot.
Peter Dominowski is with Market Trends Research. He says other companies have tried competing against Arbitron, but didn't last because the business is highly specialized and expensive. Observers note, until another company gets in the radio ratings business, there are bound to be more disputes. In Birmingham, I'm Tanya Ott for Marketplace.
And finally, you've heard of the Michelle Obama sales bump that clothing stores get every time she wears a new outfit? Well, how about the Joe Biden bump? The vice president was in Beijing last week, and he stopped into a family-owned noodle shop for lunch. And ever since then, diners have been lining up for as long as an hour to get a table at the restaurant. They've been asking for the Biden special, which includes steamed meat buns and noodles topped with soybean paste. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
When the ultrasound machine was introduced in Asia, self-selective abortions erupted across the continent, resulting in 160 million missing girls.
People see this machine as really a way to ensure them a boy.
I'm Bob Moon, new medical technology with unintended consequences. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.